Welcome to Days of Agape. Hi, I'm Debbie Holland, Director of Ministries for the King's Highway. Over the next several weeks, you will be listening to a revolutionary right now message of walking in God's love called Agape. Today, as you listen to this message taught by teacher and author Nancy Missler, learn what the Word of God says about being made a willing and open vessel so that God's love can flow through you, and why understanding the message of agape is so important in our marriages and in all of our relationships. At the end of today's broadcast, I will give you information on how to order this beloved Bible study. Now, here's author and teacher, Nancy Missler.
This class, these next eight sessions that we will have, will be essentially an overview of the Way of Agape textbook. There are 16 chapters in the Way of Agape textbook, and we're going to actually go over, have an overview of each chapter in the hopes that God will use this video series for many, many Bible studies to spring up all across the United States. I have been a Christian 46 years this year, and I've learned a lot about the Bible, had a lot of great teachers along the way. I live and sleep with one of the greatest teachers. But I have learned, and I'm serious from the bottom of my heart, that this message of God's love is the foundation of everything. And if we don't learn how to be loved and how to love as Jesus wants us to, we cannot build our spiritual foundation. It is the crux of everything. And I think three-quarters of the Christian body have missed it. We don't understand what God's love is. We don't understand how to give God's love. We don't understand the difference between human love and God's love. And so that's what this class is about. And I pray that for those of you on the audience and for those of you on the video audience, this will change your life. God's way of love is essential. We're going to have PowerPoint. I'm very excited about PowerPoint this time, so it'll be kind of a modern study. But this study actually consists of, and you can see on the screens on both sides, study consists of three different points. Number one, what is God's love? And how does it differ from human love? That's the first subject that we're going to tackle. And this is critical because, again, I believe half of the Christian body has no difference. If I asked you right now to sit down and tell me right on a piece of paper the difference between God's love and human love, could you do that? Could you do that? I was a Christian for 20 or 25 years. I couldn't have done that. I couldn't tell you, well, that this is this and this is this. I couldn't. I hope as a result of this study we'll know the difference, not only theologically, but we'll recognize it in ourselves. So we'll be able to understand when we're functioning on human love and know what to do about it. Number two, we're going to talk about what it means to love God with all our heart, with all our will, and with all our soul. To love God is not an emotional feeling. Most of us think, oh yes, I love God, I have an emotional feeling. That's not what God asks us to do in the Bible. It means to totally give yourself over to Him. How do you do that practically? What does that mean? We're going to cover that. What is our heart? What is our will? What is our soul? If I asked you right now to tell me the difference between heart and soul, could you do that? How can you love Him with all your heart and with all your soul if you don't know the difference between those two? It's very important. And lastly, we're going to talk about what it means to love our neighbor as ourselves. How do we give ourselves over to their will and their desires? How do we do that? The way of agape is based essentially on the first and second commandment. What does it mean to love God? What does it mean to love others? But what makes this study so unique and so special is that this is not going to be a theological study or a study on facts. It's going to be a study on the practical application of these two scriptures. You know, Romans 13:10 tells us that the whole Bible is summed up in these two scriptures. But how many of us, first of all, understand them? How many of us are really walking them? How many of us really are loving God the way He asks us to love Him? How many of us are really loving our neighbor the way He asks us to love Him? So the study is not just for women or just for married people. When I was teaching it years ago, many men would come up and say, well, because you're a woman and because you're married, it's obviously a class for married people and for women. Not so. wherever there is a relationship, you need God's love. Whether you're single, whether you're divorced, whether you're separated, whether you're married, happily or unhappily, wherever there is a relationship, we need God's way of love. Well, since this is the first anniversary, or the 25th anniversary of the Way of Agape, I thought I would begin by a story. I'm known for telling funny stories. I love to tell funny stories because we can pull some of the walls down, and you can see I'm just like you. I mess up just as much as everybody else, and I think it pulls us closer. So I would like to tell you about the first time that I taught this, which was 25 years ago. And I remember it like yesterday. It was September of 1978, because I had never spoken before an audience in my entire life. I remember when I was in high school, if I was asked to give a book report, I would get up there with my... and then I would pass out. I literally would pass out. I passed out at my initiation into the Kappa Kappa Gamma at UCLA. It's a wonder I didn't pass out at my wedding. I would get so nervous that I would pass out. So that's a little background there. And I've never taken a course on public speaking. How many of you have ever taught publicly? Anybody here? Were you nervous? Were you scared? Yes, most people are scared. Some people are scared witless. Other people are just nervous. But it's a you need to take classes. You need to be coached. You need to have some sort of instruction on this. I had neither. It all started because my pastor's wife had seen the incredible miracle that God had done in Chuck's and my marriage. We had been married about 20 years at that point. We were on the point of a divorce. I had left him 3 times. And my pastor's wife had witnessed this. This was Big Calvary down in Costa Mesa. She had witnessed this. And then she had seen God just do an absolute miracle as the Lord taught us what his love was and the difference between human love and God's love. And as a result of that, I threw myself into the Bible for the next 3 years, trying to find out from Scripture what God had done. Because, see, all of our experiences are different. All of our stories are different. And we can share our stories with each other. But if we don't put God's principles alongside the stories, that story by itself will not change somebody else's life. So I wanted to understand from Scripture, God, what did you do? So I can give it to somebody else. So I'd spent 3 years studying when she knew this. So she said, Nancy, would you come and share with a few women, you know, what God is teaching you? I said, sure, a few women, great. Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. One thing led to another, and pretty soon there was this huge 8-week seminar planned, small groups planned, you know, huge production, the first women's seminar that Calvary Costa Mesa had ever put on, and there were 700 people coming. 700 people. I spent months preparing for it. I mean, just months. I just always have been very, conscientious that way. And so I spent months, and as it got closer, I couldn't believe what I had obligated myself to. You know, if you ever want to run away and be somebody else, that's the way I felt. So anyway, I was absolutely panicked. Well, the day before the class was to begin, the teacher in charge, or the person in charge, came to me and she said, Nancy, can I see your notes? I need to kind of know what you're going to be talking about. So I said, sure. I gave her my notes. And she took the notes. Well, she called me back that night. This is 12 hours before I'm supposed to speak. And she said, Nancy, I want you to remove everything that has to do with the temple in your talk. She said, it's too dry. It's too boring. No one will understand. Well, anybody that has taken the Way of Agape know that the temple is the essential part of it. We take Solomon's temple and we compare it to the architecture of the human body, heart, mind, and soul. And I'll tell you, it lays out perfect. God has 52 chapters in the Old Testament talking about the Old Testament. They're not there by accident. They're there because it talks about us. And the temple is the unique part of the Way of Agape. You take it out, you know, it falls apart. It's the revelation that God gave me. Well, as you can imagine, I cried all night long. I can't take that temple out. How did you change your class, you know, 12 hours before you're supposed to give it? Well, my Chuck was wonderful. And he said, honey, you give that speech just exactly how God gave it to you. Don't you change a thing. So needless to say, when I stood up the next day, I was a little nervous. I'm kind of going against what they told me to do. So I got up there, and I remember turning around and seeing 700 faces looking at me. And I'll tell you, everything you know goes out of your head. I mean, you don't even know who you are. It's like the time Chuck and I were on TBN television with Hal Lindsey, and I was just there as Chuck's wife. Didn't say anything all during the 2 hours. And then there was the last 2 minutes, and Hal Lindsey turns to me and says, "Well, Nancy, wrap up the last 2 hours, will you?" And then that lens comes in on your face, and you're going, "Oh, my, don't even know who you are." You know, I mean, it's just, said something. But I'll tell you, everything you know goes out of your head. So anyway, somehow I managed to get through the talk, but I guess it must have been really horrible. Because, number one, I didn't know that you didn't sit and read your speech. So I think I must have sat there and read the whole thing. That was number one. I didn't know that you were supposed to have stories to go along with your principles, so it was probably pretty dry with all the principles, bang, 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 bang. And I also didn't know that you weren't to read 52 scriptures at one time. And I read 50, can you imagine? I read 52 scriptures in that 1 hour. All I remember is when I got off that stage, the lady in charge came running up to me and going, "You read 52 scriptures." And nobody had ever told me you don't do that when you speak. So, needless to say, you know, it's amazing that anybody came back the second week. You know, it's but you know what? They did. More people came back the next week. They loved the subject matter. And God used that material in spite of me. Women's lives were changed. Marriages were healed. And God touched people in spite of me. And it just proves to me that God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. He really does. And if we're willing, you know, He will use us. It's kind of interesting because the lady in charge finally about 7 or 8 weeks downstream came and apologized, and that was very sweet of her. And then one thing led to another after that series was over. More Bible studies sprung up locally. And then I started being asked to go, you know, to other cities and speak. And then I started being asked to go to other places in the United States to speak. And one thing led to another, and I ended up, I've been in Tasmania, I've been in Perth, Australia, I've been in Singapore, New Zealand, Scotland, all over the world. And God allowed me to do about 400 to 500 seminars over the last 22 years. So, and over time, God gave me real-life stories to put with the principles to kind of balance things out a little bit. I learned you don't do 52 scriptures, you maybe read one or two. And I also learned that you don't just read your script, you ad-lib as much as possible. I would like to show you here. I brought some of the old photographs because I think it's fun for you to see. This is the actual outline cover that was for the first class in 1978. And what makes this so special to me is that my son Chip, who just died 5 years ago, he designed this. And Chip was 39 and died while out jogging one afternoon. So we'll talk more about Chip in the talk, but that's why this is very special. And I think the black background, a lot of people didn't like the black, but I think he was trying to say that we come from such a dark background, and when God comes into our heart, that's the light, and that's the hope. So that's the first class, and then the Firefighters for Christ. Does anybody know who they are, Firefighters for Christ? They are a group of actual firefighters down in Los Angeles. That's where it started. And they started taping speakers, Chuck primarily, and they did do some of my tapes way on early. This is probably 78 or 80, and they started the same time we did, and they got to where they were sending out like 6 million tapes a year. Huge organization. It's now a national organization. This is the same outlines, that the cover that they put. This, in 1985, we lived up in Big Bear, and I did it, Way of Agape, up there for my church. And I love the design. The background is supposed to be the thorns there. And Song of Solomon says, "As the lilies are among the thorns, so is my love." And I love that, the lily there, and I love the thorns. I thought that was a pretty design. And then, of course, in 1994, the textbook that a lot of you have seen came out. And the pictures behind us when they were delivering it here to Kay House. And then in 1995, that was the last video series when we did the videos, and that was here. And they've done well in the last 10 years, but the quality of the tape was not as good as we wanted it to be. So that's why we wanted to redo it. Now, the reason that we have redone the covers of the books from the Lily to Jesus Washing Peter's Feet is that we have more men now doing the Way of Agape than ever before. The men got tired of cutting. What they did is they would cut the lily out of the center of the book, and they would put an NFL football player card. They would tape one in there. And they wrote me and said, "We're tired of doing this. Would you just do something, please, that we could carry around and be proud to carry around?" So this is supposed to be a little bit more user-friendly for all genders. So I praise God for what He's done in my life and for how He's used the Way of Agape and how He does use the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And I just hope that it's an encouragement for those of you who think to yourself, "I could never do what she does. I could never stand up there and speak. I could never write a book. I could never be on TV." I would have been the first one to have said those things. But God has told us we can do all things through Him. And I've learned that experientially. And a little P.S. to this story, which, I mean, God has a sense of humor. Have you found out that God has a sense of humor? He has a sense of irony? 3 weeks ago, this is cute. 3 weeks ago, I was asked by the Moody Bible Institute to teach a class on speaking. Cool. I think that's great. I'm going to be telling lots of stories, as I mentioned, and I want to tell stories primarily to show that we're all built alike, that we all fail, that we all tumble, that we all make mistakes, and you know what's okay? Because Jesus is the only one that's perfect. And the more we learn to set ourselves aside, the more we learn to be transparent and let Jesus come forth, the more He will do things perfectly through us. It's not us we want to raise up. It's Him that we want to raise up. Maturity in Christ. Listen to me. Maturity in Christ is not being perfect. Thank God it's not being perfect. It's not having it all together. Maturity in Christ is not the number of years that you've been a Christian. It's not knowing scriptures backwards and forwards. It's not going to church. It's not writing books or being up here teaching a class. Maturity in Christ is simply, number one, recognizing your choices daily, moment by moment, recognizing your choices and learning how to set that self aside so Jesus can come forth. That's all maturity is. And we're going to have stories that will show you mature Christians at 1 year, mature Christians at 6 months. You don't need to go 46 years before you learn this message. Now, hear me, because I want you to understand I'm not a theologian. You need to check out everything that you learn here. Check it out with Scripture. I don't pretend to be a theologian. I am a mom. I'm a grandma. I'm a sister in the Lord. And the reason I'm here is, girls and guys, I've found a way that works. And all I want to do is share that way with you. I don't want you to have to go through the 20 years of trial and error that I had to go through to find this way. I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will open your heart, those of you listening, those of you in the audience, those of you in the audio audience, that God will open your heart to see this is the crux of being a Christian. And if you miss this, you can't build anything else on top of it. So let's jump in. What we're going to talk about today is chapters 3 and 4 of the Way of Agape. And we're going to talk about what is God's love and why is it so important. That's the titles of these chapters 3 and 4. And the reason we're jumping to chapter 3 and 4 to start with is chapter 1 and 2 are simply Chuck's and my story of what God did in our marriage. And I would recommend that you all, first of all, get the textbook. You really cannot do this class without having the textbook. I will recommend pages in here to look up. So if you don't have a textbook, be sure and get one. And if you can't get one, just let us know and we'll be sure and give you one, because you do need to have a textbook to know the chapters. All the outlines are at the back of the books. So you need a textbook. But the first and second chapter in here are our story of what God did in our marriage, how He changed our marriage around. And I really would recommend that you read that. If God ministers to you through that story, and if perhaps you are in a hard marriage and you want more details, this little book called Why Should I Be the First to Change is the complete story of the turnaround of Chuck's and my marriage. This is the story. The Way of Agape is the how-to. So that's the difference. If this is the story, and this is a great little book to give out to your friends that maybe you know are having marital problems. Okay, let's jump in and let's talk about what is God's love, all right? And hopefully you will take notes, those of you in all the audiences. Again, if I asked you to tell me the difference between the two kinds of love, human love and God's love, could you do that? I'm hoping as a result of this morning's class and certainly the second class, you will be able to tell me the difference between God's love and human love. Well, first of all, God's love. The Bible tells us that God is agape. God is love. And that is in 1 John 4, 7, and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So that's our pivotal scripture. So number two, agape is a supernatural love, because it comes directly from God itself. How is God's love different from human love? It's a supernatural love. Man cannot produce this kind of love on his own. Put that down. We can grunt. We can groan for it. We can do everything loop-de-loop for it. We cannot produce this kind of love on our own. It comes directly from God. Now, this supernatural love is poured into our hearts the moment we invite Jesus Christ to come into our lives. Listen, Jesus is that love. So the moment you ask Christ to come into your life, into your heart, to be your life, that's when that love comes into your heart. Only He is that love. Years ago, I taught a class, and one of the ladies said to me, "Nancy, you are so fortunate to have God's love." She said, "The rest of us are not that fortunate." And I said, "Beloved," I said, "do you know Jesus? Have you got Jesus in your heart?" She said, "Yes, I've been a believer for 25 years. Then I said, "You have is God's love. The problem is you don't know how to let it out." That's the problem with the Christian body. We have His love in our hearts, but because we hold on to bitterness, resentment, justified, we cover and we quench that love in our hearts, and it doesn't flow out. Therefore, the love that we function on out here is human love. Our own, you know, feelings, our own thoughts. And we're no different from our neighbors that don't even know God's love. And that's what this class is about. This is what I want you to learn. How do we set ourselves aside so that love can continually flow through us? Having and passing on God's love, only requirement, having and passing on God's love is what makes Christianity totally different from all the other religions in the world. Christianity is the only religion where God Himself, who is love, comes to dwell within each of us. And then He's going to teach us how to let His love out. That's what makes Christianity totally different from all the other religions in the world. I want to tell you a story. Whenever I think about this particular thought that Christianity is different because it's the only religion that has God, who is love, in our hearts, I think of a wonderful story about a young girl. Actually, back up a minute. It's about a philosopher, a teacher, a Jewish man that taught up at Berkeley University of California. And his name is Arthur Katz. Has anybody ever read Arthur Katz? He's years and years and years ago. I don't know if he's around anymore. But he wrote a book called Ben Israel. And in Ben Israel, the book, he relates this wonderful story of how he decided he was going to go all over the world and see if he couldn't find the real God. He was going to look. Now again, he's this Jewish philosophical teacher up at the University of Berkeley, a non-believer. And he found himself in Germany, and he was riding this train in Germany. And he happened to sit next to this young girl who was probably about 19 years old. And they got to talking, and she, I guess, had just accepted Christ about 3 days before. I mean, she was just brand new. Now, here's God's sense. I love this. God's sense of humor. Here's this philosophical, Jewish, non-believer, erudite, and this brand new believer. So he turns to her, and he says, "So what makes you think that your God is any different from the rest of the religions in the world?" And with this beautiful, you know, when you're a new believer and you have this radiance in your face, she looks up at him and she says, "Because Jesus is God, He is love, and He lives in my heart." And it was not the response that he was hoping for. And he could not get that response out of his mind for the next 6 months. It just bugged him because Jesus is God.
You've been listening to the Days of Agape, the ministry outreach of the King's Highway Ministries. Today's Bible teacher was Nancy Missler, teaching out of her book, The Way of Agape. For a complete listing of resources available, please visit kingshighway.org, or you can also call us at 866-775-5464 or 866-775-KING. Thank you for listening to Days of Agape and for your continued prayerful support of this ministry. Until next time, as we continue this series, may God bless you with understanding His agape love, and may you experience His abundant life as you allow Him to live His life through you.